Today's daf is Midos Daf Lamed Daled, and we are at the beginning of a new Masechta, the last Masechta in Seder Kachem, short Masechta, only four dafin, Masechtas Midos. So a little bit of an introduction. Masechtas Midos is a technical Masechta. It deals with the Tzura of the Beis HaMikdash, specifically the second Beis HaMikdash. So we know there were three primary Tkufos of Ashrayis HaShechina in Jewish history. We had the Mishkan. The Mishkan was built by Moshe, Bezalel, B'shana Hashenis, Letzesami Mitzrayim, and it lasted in some form or fashion up until the time that Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash. So initially, the Mishkan was in the Midbar, then it was in Gilgal, Noiv, Givon, Shiloh. For 479 years, the Yidden had a Mishkan. Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash. It stood for 410 years. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. The Yidden went to Galus Bavel for 70 years. And when the Oilei Bavel returned to Eretz Yisrael in the times of Ezra, they rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash. They built Bayis Sheni, which stood for 420 years. So we had the Mishkan, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. The Chasam Sofer, in the beginning of Teras Moshe in Parshas Pekudei, brings from Rabbeinu Bechaya, who says that these three tkufas of Ashrayis HaShechina are merumas in the first pasuk in Parshas Pekudei. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdos. HaEdos is Begematria 479. Mishkan is Begematria 410. HaMishkan is 415, but if you count the five Osiyas, Hey, Mem, Shin, Kof, Nun, it's 420. Ha'edos 479, Kenegah the 479 years that we had a Mishkan. Mishkan 410 is Kenegah Bayis Rishon. And HaMishkan plus the five voices is 420, that's Kenegah Bayis Sheni. So you learn the Parshias, Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakel, Pekudei, Eilef, Pekudei, HaMishkan. This is the summation of these five Parshias. In that Pasuk was Merumas, the three Tkufas of Ashrayis HaShechina. Of course, La'asod Lava, there's going to be a third Beis HaMikdash. There's going to be Bayis Shlishi. But what's important to note is that the different Mikdashes that we had in our history were all different. Mishkan L'chod, Bayis Rishon L'chod, Bayis Sheni L'chod, and La'asod Lava, Bayis Shlishi is going to be unique as well. Masechtas Midos discusses the Tzura of the second Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, what we're going to learn in Masechtas Midos is not relevant to the Mishkan. It's not necessarily relevant to Bayis Rishon or to Bayis Shlishi. But it's dealing specifically with Bayis Sheni. Tosfos Yontif wrote a short haktava to Masechtas Midos. And he begins by quoting the Rambam, who, based on what we just mentioned, asked a bambakasha. And that is, why do we need Masechtas Midos? Meaning, madahavahava, whatever happened, happened. And in terms of Hilchas of Mashiach, when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, what are we going to do with Masechtas Midos? Masechtas Midos deals with Bayis Sheni. So why do we have Masechtas Midos? It's a unique Masechta. It deals with the architecture of the Beis HaMikdash. It deals with the Tzura of the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't seem to have that much halachic ramifications. Now, Bishloim of the third Beis HaMikdash is going to look like the second Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so we have a blueprint now for what Bayis Shlishi is going to look like. But we know, says the Rambam, that Bayis Shlishi and Bayis Sheni are not going to be the same. And if that's the case, Freik the Rambam, Akasha, why do we have to have Masechtas Midos? And the Rambam says that although it's true that the third Beis HaMikdash is not going to look like the second Beis HaMikdash, but there are going to be things in the third Beis HaMikdash that are going to be made in the second Beis HaMikdash. And it's for that reason, says the Rambam, we have Masechtas Midos. And the truth is, the Rambam says in the Furish in the beginning of Yad Chazalka, so right in the beginning of the Avoida, that's the equivalent thereof of Seder Kachem in the Rambam's Yad Chazalka, Hilchas Beis Abchira, Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet, L'shoynoi Azov Shal HaRambam, Binyan Shabana Shloimoi, Kvar Mefurish B'Malach, the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built, meaning the first Beis HaMikdash is Mefurish and Sefer Malachim, Malachim Aleph, V'chein Binyan Ha'asit Lehibanois, and the third Beis HaMikdash, Afal Pisha Hu Kasuv B'Yecheskel, and a Mefurish U'Mavur. If you go through those Pesukim, it's not Mefurish U'Mavur. But where are the Pesukim? They're in Sefer Yecheskel. V'anshei Bayis Sheni, the Yidden that built the second Beis HaMikdash, Kishavadu B'Mei Ezra, Banu K'Binyan Shloimo, they built it like Binyan Shloimo, U'Mei'en Dvarim HaMefurashim B'Yecheskel. They relied on Pesukim and Malachim Aleph, and they relied on Pesukim and Sefer Yecheskel. So Bayis Sheni was built Kibinyan Shloimoi, Either way, it's Befurish in the Rambam. That the Rambam says that Bayis Shlishi is going to have a Shaychis to Bayis Sheni. Because when they built Bayis Sheni, they built it Me'ein Dvarim HaMufurashim B'Yecheskel. So the Rambam, Meshitasoy, in his Pirish HaMishnaya, says that's why we have Mesachtes Midas. We have Mesachtes Midas because we know B'Mesoyra that when Bayis Sheni was built, it was built Me'ein Dvarim HaMufurashim B'Yecheskel. And therefore, when the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be built, Bayis Mesechtes Midos, although it won't be a perfect blueprint for the third Beis HaMikdash, but at the same time, it's definitely going to be helpful. It's going to be something that's going to assist the Boinim of the third Beis HaMikdash. They'll be able to a degree rely on some of the things that we're going to see now in Mesechtes Midos. But then the Tosfos Yontif digresses a little bit. And he says, so why is it the Bayis Sheni was different than Bayis Shlishi? Like, why? Why couldn't Bayis Sheni be like Bayis Rishon? Or why couldn't it be like Bayis Shlishi? Or really, to ask the question a little bit more globally, so the Mishkan was built one way, Bayis Rishon another way, Bayis Sheni a third way, Bayis Shlishi a fourth way. Why couldn't there just be V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'soicham? So wouldn't it make sense that it should be consistent, that the Azara should always be a certain length, a certain width, and the Heichal, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Menorah, and the Shulchan? Why is it that each Beis HaMikdash was unique? Says the Tosfos Yontif, because the tzura of the Beis HaMikdash was a reflection of the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. It was a reflection of the level of Ashrayus Hashchina that existed in that Beis HaMikdash. And because the levels of kedusha and the levels of Ashrayus Hashchina were different, Leroy Zeh, Keroy Zeh, for each Mikdash, it's for that reason the tzura of it had to be different. Says the Tosfos Yontif that when the Oilei Bavel came to Eretz Yisrael, Bazman Bayis Sheni, if they wanted, they technically could have built the third Beis HaMikdash. But they knew that it wasn't time yet to build the third Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash of Yecheskel, says the Tosfos Yontif, they understood was meant for a time of Geula. It was meant for a time where it's going to be Umal La'aretz Deyas Hashem. And they weren't living in that time. Meaning, they had reshus from the Persian government to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. A Beis HaMikdash with dinim, a fulfillment of the pasuk v'asuli mikdash. A Beis HaMikdash where they'd be able to bring karbonos, tmidim kisidra, umusaf and kilchasam, where yidin would be able to be either regal on yontif, where they would, without question, be dinim of mikdash. But at the same time, they understood it wasn't the mikdash with the hey idea. That mikdash is not going to happen till Mashiach comes, till Elyo Navi comes, till Elyo Tishbi. That's not something we're going to have until the Asa Lavoi. The Beis HaMikdash that Yecheskel describes in Sefer Yecheskel is a binyan that reflects the Hashrois Hashchina that we're going to have in the Zman of Geula. Says the Tosfos Yontif, Zman Bayis Sheni, we didn't have it. And being that we didn't have that, it's for that reason, says the Tosfos Yontif, we couldn't build the third Beis HaMikdash. So they built it, like the Rambam says, Kid Binyan Shloima, Umei'in Dvarim, HaMufroshim B'Yecheskel. Of course, this Tosfos Yontif is Matim with what we spoke about in the end of Masechtas Tamid. That is the Rosh, who seems to say that even Bizman Bayis Sheni, the Yidden were davening Shmoyin Esrei. So we know the Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle were Masechtas Tefillah. So obviously there was no Shmoyin Esrei Bizman Bayis Rishon. The Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle lived Bizman Golos Bavel, the beginning of Bayis Sheni. But during Bayis Sheni, B'tkufas Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle, moving forward, the Yidden were davening Shmoyin Esrei. One of the Yudchas brachos says Vil Yerushalayim Mircha Barachim Toshav. What kind of tefillah was Vil Yerushalayim Mircha Barachim Toshav? There was a base. Imagine standing in the base. I mean, so today you stand by the Kosel, you daven Yerushalayim Mircha Barachim Toshav. You feel it. It makes sense. But you're in the base Hamikdash and you're davening Vil Yerushalayim Mircha. The Teretz says because Bayis Sheni was never a zman of Gula. They were davening for Yecheskel's base Hamikdash. The Ritva Mesechtes Rosh Hashanah Yudchasim on base that says they would fast Tisha B'av. But how do you fast Tisha B'av? Is man Bayis fasting on Churban base Hamikdash? You have the base Hamikdash. They were fasting on Churban Bayis Rishon, because Bayis Sheni, just like it's not Bayis Shlishi, wasn't Bayis Rishon either. The Gemara says five things were lacking in Bayis Sheni that we had in Bayis Rishon. Bayis Sheni was only Kib Binyan Shloima. Umei'ein Dvarim HaMufroshim B'Yecheskel. Because it was only Kib Binyan Shloima, they were fasting Tisha B'Av on Churban Bayis Rishon. Because it's only Me'ein Dvarim HaMufroshim B'Yecheskel, they were davening V'Yerushalayim Mircha. We want not the Me'ein Dvarim HaMufroshim B'Yecheskel. We want the real Yecheskel. Either way, that's the Tosfos Yontif Zakhtom. On that note, Dr. Mishnah, there were three places where the Kohanim used to stand guard in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaTinos, the Beis HaNitzot, and the Beis HaMoikit. The Levim used to stand guard. They would watch, protect, so to speak, the Beis HaMikdash in 21 places. So between the Levim and the Kohanim, there were Chaf Dalud Mekoymois. There were 24 places where there were Yidden guarding the Beis HaMikdash. Where were these places? Chamisha al Chamisha Shari Harapais, meaning the three where the Kehanim was Shomer, was Beis HaKtinas, Beis HaNitzos, and Beis HaMoikin. What were the 21 places that the Levim were Shomer? Five by the five Sha'orim of the Harapais. There were five Sha'orim to the Harapais, as the Mishnah is soon going to say. Arba al Arba Pinoisov. The Harapais was surrounded by a wall. As a result, the four corners of the walls had Shomrim, Mitoichoi. Those Shomrim were able to stand inside the Harabayis. Chamisha, Chamisha Shari Azara. There were another five Shomrim by the five Sha'orim of the Azara. Arba al Arba Pinoisel Mibachutz. And then there were four by the four corners of the walls of the Azara. They were standing to the outside. The Echad Lishkas HaKorban. And there was another Levi that stood by Lishkas HaKorban. The Echad Lishkas HaPareches. There was another Levi that stood by Lishkas HaPareches. The Echad Achari Beis HaKapayres. And then there was another Levi that stood behind the Kapayres. That's behind the Kodesh HaKadosh. Either way, if you do the math, what you end up with is the 24. So this halacha of the shloishim mekaymas hakihanim shomer b'deis hamikdash the Alevim, the Esrim, the Echad Nakim is the first sugya Masechtas Talmud. We discussed it in great detail, but just to chazer two important yesoides. Number one, why was there a mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash? The Rambam says Shmiras HaMikdash is a mitzvah saseh. It says in the Torah, Ushmartem es mishmeres hakodesh, and we learn from there, it's a mitzvah's essay there rises. It's one of the Tariyag mitzvahs. There was a mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash. Says the Rambam, Shmiras HaMikdash mitzvah saseh, Perek ches, Hilchos Beis HaBchir, Alocha Aleph. Va'aval pi she'en shem pachad me'oyev alemi listen. Even if you're not afraid, it's peaceful times. She'en shmirasei ala kovadvah. It has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Shmira. Because the idea of Shmiras HaMikdash is covered for the Beis HaMikdash. The reason is, because ein eidoyme palturin she'yesh alav shoymrim, le palturin she'en alav shoymrim. So says the Rambam, the yisoid of the mitzvah of Shmira in the Beis HaMikdash had nothing to do with, we're protecting the Beis HaMikdash because we don't want people to come in and steal the gold and the silver. In Anias B'makom Hashiris, that was certainly not what it was about. The idea was it was considered a covet. In fact, the Gemara in the beginning of Masechtas Talmud brought a pasuk that said when there was a Mishkan in the Midbar, they were also Shomrim. And who were the Shomrim? Moshe, Aharon, Uvanov. Unbelievable. So Moshe Rabbeinu B'chvoidei V'atzmei was one of the Shomrim. He wasn't a security guard. He was one of the Shomrim in the sense to give covet, to the Mishkan. Aharon, his two sons, Elazar v'Issachar. Either way, that's the basic idea of the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash. The second thing we spoke a lot about was the Rambam says, "Shmirasu mitzvah sakol halacha." And it's before in the Rambam that the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash was only at night, but there was no mitzvah to do Shmira during the day. The Mefarish in the beginning of Masechtas Talmud says clearly that the mitzvah of Shmira was b'yom u'v'laila. It's mashma that way from the Rosh as well. We spoke at Akasha from the Rogach of a Goyen, the Inkam v'Goyen. Either way, it's up to Mishnah Vayiter. It's Ish HaRabayis HaYimichazah Uncle Mishnah. Mishmar, this Harabayis, he was the kohen that was in charge. He would go around on each mishmar, meaning he'd go to each post to make sure that people weren't sleeping on the job. It's not an easy job, especially the Rambam says that Ikr Shmir was balayli, you can get tired at night. So you have to make sure that people aren't falling asleep. Avukas dogs on the front of him. There were people that were holding avukas in front of him. The idea was that when this Ish HaRabayis would pass the post, so whoever the Shomer was, if he was sitting, he would have to stand up. So what happens if somebody didn't stand up? So now he started getting suspicious. So Ish HaRabayis said, Ish HaRabayis would tell this Koyen or Levi, Shalom Alecha. Shalom Aleichem, Nikeshu Yashem, if he didn't respond and say, Aleichem Shalom, yes sir, Choyftei B'makvai, he would hit him with a stick. For Rishul Sayyid, like this, not only that, even had permission if he wanted to burn his ksus, people would say sometimes, it would make so much noise, Makel Bazar, what's this noise I hear in the Azara? And they would say, Kol Ben Levi Loike, it must be the noise of a Ben Levi, who's chapping Malkis, who begot of Nesrafim, his clothing are being burned. Sheyoshem vayam mishmore, because he must have fallen asleep. Blessed be Yaakov. Says Pamachas Matzus Achi Ima Mat Yoshem Besor for his Tuesday. Just so happened, once upon a time, I had an uncle, said Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, my mother's brother. He was a Levi. He was one of the Shomrim. He fell asleep at his post. The Ish HaRabayis found him. The Sarfay is Ksusay. It doesn't say that he hit him, but the Sarfay is Ksusay, he burnt his Ksusay. Before we start the next mission, just two shorter auras. Number one, Lisroif Ksusay. So one of the things that Ish HaRabayis had a right to do was to burn the Ksus to burn the beged of the Kohen or the Levi. If you take a look at the Rosh, and this Rosh is verbatim in Masechtas Tamid as well. So we've seen this already in Masechtas Tamid. The Rosh says it in Masechtas Tamid, and he says it right here in Masechtas Midas as well. The Inkan Mishum Bal Tashchis says the Rosh, you can ask me, Akasha, how is this Kohen, the Ish Harabai, is allowed to burn the clothing of the Levi? L'chura, isn't there an Isser Bal Tashchis? You're not allowed to destroy something that's good. Says the Rosh, the Inka Mishum Bal Tashchis, Mishum the Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Because Bezdin has a right to do whatever they want. They can confiscate property. And being that Hefker Bezdin Hefker, Inka Mishum Bal Tashchis. And at first glance, the Rosh is Tzorich Iyan Gadol. Ma Inyan Bal Tashchis, Eitzel Hefker Bezdin Hefker. In other words, had the Rosh asked the Kasha, how does the Ish Harabais have a right to take somebody's clothing away and burn it? Wait, Sigzo, what happened to Geneva? What happened to Gezela? So for that, you'd have a nice teretz, Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. Bezin has a right to confiscate people's property. We learn it from Ezra. The point is, it's something they have a right to do. And being that it's something they have a right to do, so it's not a problem of Gezela. But that wasn't the Rosh's Kasha. The Rosh wasn't asking a Chosha Mishpat Kasha. He was asking a Yeredeya Kasha. He was asking a Issa Vehenta Kasha. You're not allowed to destroy something. Zok the Rosh, Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. Hefker, Bezin means that they have a right to remove the bilus of the Levi or the Kayan on this beged. But what gives them a right to destroy it? Some achrayim say that you see from this Rosh an unbelievable chiddush and halacha. And that is that the Isser Bal Tashchis is only if the item that's being destroyed has an owner. But there's no Isser Bal Tashchis when it comes to hefker. It requires a hezver. But thus state in Rosh, the inkam vishum Bal Tashchis, why? Vishum the hefker bezden hefker, and hefker bezden hefker is not only a teretz on Loi Sigzal. Hefker bezden hefker is also a teretz, it's also a teretz on the Issa Bal Tashchis, the second aura, which is the next Rosh, and that is, so the Mishnah said that if the Ish Harabais wanted to hit the Kohen of the Levi, he had a right to do that. If he wanted to burn his beged, he could do that as well. There's no Bal Tashchis. Then the Mishnah said, Reb Lezman Yaakov said, it once happened with my uncle, Zok the Rosh, what's the point in this Maisa? Right? What are we adding here? You remember this Mishnah? Oh, Blazim Yaakov said he had an uncle that was a Levi, and they once, okay, the Mishnah says that it's something that the Ishar Abayas had a right to do. Is there anything with any halachic significance that we learn from the fact that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov had an uncle who once fell asleep on the job and they burnt his ksus? Says the Rosh, Gam Shamat Mino, I think there is. You know what the significance is? The Stam Masnis in the Midos, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The significance is that the Tana, the Mishnah, that said that the Ishar Abayas had a right to do this, wasn't just any Tana. It's none other than the great Tana, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. How do you know that? Because Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov himself said that he knows that the Ishar Abayas had a right to do this because it once happened with his uncle. He heard this at a Shabbos table. The uncle came for Yontif and he said, they once burnt my begadim. And he knew it was real. But the point is from here we know that the Tana, the Mishnah, Masechtas Midos is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And why is that significant? Why is that significant? Teretz is Pashit. Because Mishnah's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov we know is Kav Venaki. Meaning a Mishnah is on a very high madrega, right? You can't get much higher than a Mishnah, higher than a Braisa, obviously much higher than a memory from the Amiram. But within the world of Mishnah, there are levels. Most Mishnayos are Rameir. Stam Mishnas Rameir, Alibid Rabbi Akiva. But there's even a higher Madrega Mishnah. And that's a Mishnah that you can attribute to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Because Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is Kab. There aren't a lot of Mishnayos. Although, Maseches Midas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, we just tacked on a lot of Mishnayos to the Kav of Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Kav means it's not a lot. The Naki, but they're Naki, they're perfect. Meaning the halachas like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Either way, says the Rosh, maybe the reason we're mentioning this Maisa with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is to teach us, or we should know, that Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is Kav Naki. Now, the truth is that this Rosh is a Mefurish Gemara. The Gemara is in Masechtas Yuma, Daf Tazayin, Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah said, the Gemara over there says that Stam Mishnah in Masechtas Midos is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The Gemara over there learns it not from this Mishnah. The Gemara over there learns it from another Mishnah here in Masechtas Midos. Ayin Shom in Kamakom Elaharech, stating that, that's Hashem at the end of the Daf, when we speak out some rave, we'll get into a little bit more. We've spoken so much about Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, but Ein Beis Medrash V'Lo Chiddush as it relates to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Zotik the Mishnah Vayitach, Hamishnayim Hayu L'Harabayis. There were five gates on the Harabayis. So how are we segueing into the five gates of the Harabayis? Because we mentioned that of the 21 Levian, that stood guard in the Beis HaMikdash, five of them were about five harabais. Okay, what were the five sha'arim? Shnei shari chulda min ha-dorim. There were two gates known as the shari chulda. They were on the dorim side of the harabais. Misham sh'knisa v'yetziah. They were the main entrances. So the main entrance to the harabais once upon a time was on the dorim side of the Beis HaMikdash, and they would enter through the two shari chulda. Ki poinois min ha-mayrif. Shar ki poinois was on the western side. So the Koisel HaMaravi that we have today is not the Koisel of the Azara, it's the Koisel of the Harabais. Although there's a tshuva from the Avni Nezer, and there's a lot to talk about, maybe tomorrow. But the Pashtus, of course, is, Ramosha talks about it in a tshuva in Igros Moshe, the Pashtus, of course, is that the Koisel HaMaravi was one of the walls of the Harabais. Which wall is it? It's Meirev. So Shar ki poinis was somewhere around where the Koisel HaMaravi is. It was Meshamish Knisa V'Yitziyah. People would go in and out through there as well. Tadi, that Shar was Menatzafin. It was on the Tzafin side. Lo'yah Meshamish Klum. Nobody ever went there. Shar HaMizrachi, all of Shushan Abira Tzura. That was the Shar that had on it the Tzura of Shushan Abira. And what was that Shar used for? Shabai Kohen Gadol HaSoerev HaSaparo. V'chol Mesadeo Yoitzim Lahara Mishcha. When the Kohen Gadol would get involved in the Paraduma, so we'd have to go to Haras Eis, and that's what the Paraduma was brought. The Paraduma, even though Chatas Kayi Rachmana wasn't a real carbon, it was brought on Haras Eis, also known as Hara Mishcha. So how would he go from the Beis HaMikdash to Hara Mishcha? There was a whole ceremony. It would happen through not the typical Sha'arim that were used on the Dorim side and on the Ma'ariv side, but rather it was used through the Shar HaMizrach. What's this all of Shushan Habira Tzura that the Gemara is, that the Mishnah references, so we've seen this together a few times, it's Gemara Masechtas Menachos, Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara where they quote our Mishnah, Tan Hasam, Shar HaMizrach, all of Shushan Abira Tzura. My time, what was the reason for Rav Chizda, V'Rav Yitzchak, Barav Divi. Chadama once said, Kedei Sheyedu Meheichan Bo'o. HaKoros HaToyv Rashi says, it's important for the Yidden to be Makir Toiv to a Medina Shal Chesed. And being that the Persian government was the one that gave the Yidden permission to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, listen to Lashon Rashi. Yitnu Hoida L'Malchus Sha'itziyah Mishah. So there was a constant reminder. The reminder was the Eastern Gate. This is one of the Sha'arim to the Harabais. Imagine you coming to be Oyl Rebbe, you've never seen the Beis HaMikdash. You're like waiting in anticipation, and the first thing you see, if you're coming from the Mizrach side, it's not. That wasn't really the first thing they saw because they came from Dorim or Ma'ariv. But if you would see it from the Mizrach side, what you would see is the Tzura of Shushan Abira. What's the reason for it? Give Hoidah. You have to give Shvach V'Hoidah to this Malchus Shel Chesed, Koloimar, the Persian government that gave the Yidden permission to rebuild the second base image. Another mandama says a whole different spin. Kedei shetei emas malchus aleim. It's not an idea of akoras atoy, but faker, emas malchus. It's very important that the Yidden be on good terms with the prevailing government. So to make sure that they maintain an ema of the malchus, a mirsus, for that hergish, there was always a tzura of Shushan Abira. It was a constant reminder of the fact that there's a government that we need to be on good terms with, because as the Yidden had seen from personal experience, the Babylonian government destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, the Romans would destroy the second Beis HaMikdash. So it was very important that they stay on good terms. Either way, Shiva Sharm Hayu, there were seven Sha'arim Ba'azara to the Azara. Shloi Shiva 7-3 itself, Shloi Shiva 7-3 in Dorim, Echad Mizrach, Sheva Dorim Shadelik. What was the name of the Sha'arim? The one on Dorim was Shadelik, Shevi Lishar Karban. Shlishi Loi Shar Hamayim. So there were three on the Dorim side. Sheva Mizrach, Shar Nikna, the most famous one. Vishte Lishkois Hayoloi. There were two Lishkois, two rooms that were next to Shar Nichnar. Achas Mimin of Achas was like one to the right, one to the left. Achas Lishkas Pinchas HaMalbish, one was called the Lishka Pinchas HaMalbish, Achas Lishkas Isaac Chavitim, the other one was the Lishka where they used to make the Chavitim. Shabbatzas Shar Nitzu, it's on the southern side of the Azor, there was also a Shar, it was called Shar Nitzu. So Kumin Achsadra Hoya, it was built like an Achsadra. It's a Shar, what exactly an Achsadra is. Pashup Shar is it's a structure that has four beams holding it up on the four corners, but there's no walls. Valeb Bnuya Al Gabov, and there was an Aliyah that was built on top of it. That was one area where the Kehanim and the Levium both stood post. So you had Kehanim and Levium in the same area, Kehanim on top, Levium on bottom, it had a opening to the Chil. The Chil, we'll see later in the Masechta, was the area that immediately surrounded the Azara. So it was part of the Harabayas, but it didn't have the same level of Kedusha as the actual Beis HaMikdash. More about that. Sheni loy Shar HaKarbin, Shlishi loy Beis HaMoikid. So those were the seven Sha'arim. Now, the Gemara Masechta's Talmud asked the obvious question. If you're holding Cheshbon, the first Mishnah of the Masechta said there were 21 places where the Levim stood post. Five of them were by the five Shari Azara. And then you have over here, the Mishnah says, Shiva Sharim Hayu Bazara. So was it five or was it seven? The Gemara asked the Kash, and the Gemara says there were three Shitas. One Shita held five, that's the first Mishnah of Masechta Midas. A second Shita held seven, that's the fourth Mishnah of Masechta Midas. And then there's another Shita that held eight. Either way, we saw that already, Masechta's Tom. It's not the Mishnah Vayita. Arba Lushkesoy Beis HaMoike. So we mentioned the Beis HaMoike. There were four rooms in the Beis HaMoike. Kiki Toinios, Psuchos Latrachim. These were small rooms that opened up to a big room. So the Beis HaMoike was a very, very large room, and there were in the four corners there were four rooms that opened into this large room. Shnayim b'kodesh, v'shnayim b'chol. Two of the four rooms were technically part of the Azara, and two of them were to the outside of Azara. So Beis HaMoikid is where a lot of the activity, a lot of the action in the Beis HaMikdash took place. The Kehanim spent a lot of time, they slept there in Beis HaMoikid. So apparently it was important for Beis HaMoikid to have a part of it that's b'kodesh, to do things that require kodesh, and to have a part of it that's b'chol, to do things that require chol. So practically, it made a lot of sense for Beis, just the Lishkas HaGazis was the same way. It was partly b'kodesh and partly b'chol. So it made sense for the Beis HaMoikid to be built that way. Either way, the Roshei Pispasin Mavdol. So we've had a lot of Pishpasin with a shin. This is Pispasin with a sin. It's not the same word. Pishpasin are doors. Pispasin are beams. So there were beams that were Mavdol ben Kodesh L'chol. What was the purpose of these four rooms? Marovis Droimis, he hoysa lishkas atlot. Droimis Mizrachis, he hoysa lishkas achamapon. Mizrachis Svoinis, what was that? For Ba Gonzu Benechash Meinoi, es Avne HaMizbeach Shesh. So when the Greeks in the times of the Hanukkah story, which was during Bayis Sheni, when they destroyed, they were ransacked the Beis HaMikdash, so one of the things that they destroyed was the Mizbeach. And the Yevon at the Chashmonaim, after they defeated the Yevonim, they took those stones and they kept them in this room, one of the four rooms that were in the Beis HaMoikid. So, boy, gonzu b'nei chashminoi, es avnei hamizbeach, sheshoksum, that were defiled by the Malcheyot. It's fine, it's my Rabbis, what was that for? Boy, yardon lebeis ha-tfilo. That's where they used to go to the Beis ha-tfilo. Just one ha'ara before we continue, and that is Mizrachis Sefoinis. Bo gonzu b'nei chashminoi es avnei hamizbeach sheshoktu malchei yavon. Moshe Feinstein, 1969, was asked the shayla. The shayla was his aide, Rav Moshe Tendler. But it seems like there was a kehila that had gotten a hold of a urea of a Sefer Torah that was destroyed by the Nazis during World War II. So this was a part of a Sefer Torah, but it was nicker from the urea, maybe there were blood stains or bullet holes, I don't know exactly what it was, but it was very obvious that this was part of a Sefer Torah that had been defiled by the Nazis. And this kilo wanted to put it on display. And the Shiloh was asked to Rav Moshe, is it an appropriate thing to do or not? Once it's not, it's a bezoyin. I mean, you're taking a Sefer Torah that you can tell was mevuzah, and you're putting it now on public display. Maybe it's something that you shouldn't do. And Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva, and Rav Moshe said, I have a raya mefureshes. Because the Mishnah says in Masechtas Midas, this is what it means to know kol Torah kula. Because the Mishnah says in Masechtas Midas, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav, that one of the four lishkas that were in Beisai Moikid was Mizrachis Tzvoynes, Bagons, Ubnei Chashmenes, Avnei Amizbech, Sheshakzun, Malchei Yavon. Says Rav Moshe, I don't understand. Why did they do that? Why did they take these Avonim and put it on display? Shouldn't they have buried it? That would have been more appropriate. Why did they leave it there in that Lishka? So he says, Vaisois, they felt that it was important to have a Zecha for the Nes, and they also felt that it wasn't a Bezayin, because it had been a Mizbech. This is the Mizbeach. They would have never done it. The Mizbeach, where they would be Makrif Karbonis, they're leaving it on display, so everybody should remember what the Greeks did to it? Has that make sense? So, Rav Moshe Vaisnois, Faker, maybe it's a Zeche for the miracle, but for sure it's clear from here that it wasn't an Inyan of Bezoyin. So, if you, the Avnei Mizbeach were allowed to be on display to a certain degree, then a Sefer Torah that was defiled by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, could be on display as well. It was Zokta Mishnevay Tishnayim, Sha'orim, Hoyle Beis HaMoikid. There were two gates to the Beis HaMoikid. Echot Pesuach L'chel. One went to the outside, the Chel. Again, that's that area that surrounds the Beis HaMikdash. The Echot Pesuach Lazar. The other one opened into the Azar. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Zeh, Shoye Pesuach Lazar, Pish Pesh, Kothen Hoyolai, had a small door, Shabayin Nechnas and Livvay Shazar. Meaning, even though you're able to get from the Beis HaMoikid into the Azara, going through the big Sha'arim. We'll see soon how big these Sha'arim were. They were big. So even though you're able to go through the big Sha'arim, but when the Kohen went into the Beis HaMikdash to inspect, to make sure that everything is running smoothly, middle of the night, he wouldn't open up the big shahr. He would go in through a side door. Then next to the big shahr, there was a pishpish kotel. Beis HaMoiket, keep Beis HaMoiket was covered with a dome. Ubayis kotel haya, it was very large. Mukav roivdin shaleven, and you had these indentations of stone that went all around the walls. Those were the benches or the beds. People could sit there. People could sleep there. V'ziknei beisav yishenim sham. U'maftachay so azara b'yodim. They had on them the keys of the azara. U'pirchei kohuna ish k'susay baritz. And the pirchei kohuna, they weren't allowed to sleep on the beds. Rather, they would sleep on the ground. Ish k'susay baritz. Tachas v'sheyem. K'neged v'sheyem. Big day kohuna. Nitnu lahanes bam. Loi nitnu lahanes bam. What about shatnes? Machlekes rabban ravid. Ve'en kamakoy. V'zok mishnah v'ayt. V'lokom ha'yisham amal amal. There was a place in Beis HaMoiket. There was one tile that was one amma by one amma. So it's approximately 2x2. The tavla shel shayis, and it was made of marble. V'tabas ho'yisak fu'aba. And there was a ring that was attached to it. Meaning you should be able to lift the tile by holding that ring. There was a little chain, and the keys of the azar and all these different doors were attached to it. When it came time to close the doors, they would lift up the tavla by the ring. And this koyin would take the maftechas off the string. The no'al ha'koyin mibifnim. And he would lock all the doors from the inside. Uben Levi Yoshlei Bebachotz. There was a Levi that was sleeping in the Beis HaMoike while this was happening. Gamam Milino. When he finished locking up, Hechser Es HaMavtechus Oshashele. So somehow he was able to get back into the Beis HaMoike. So he gets into the Beis HaMoike and he puts the Mavtechus back onto the chain. And he puts the tile back to where it's supposed to be. And he put his ksus on top of it. And he went to sleep on top of it. What happens if one of the kehanim had tumas that carry middle of the night? He would go to the tunnel. That went underneath the bira. Was lit up. Until he came to the beis atfila. Lezman Yaakov says, that he would walk underground, but the way he would leave was he would go out through the Shar Tadi. So Shar Tadi was the Shar that was on the Tzafin side. That's how he would exit. Pashit, Zemachloikis, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and the Tanakamo, when the Balkeri left the Harabayas, when he left the Makam HaMikdash, how did he leave? Did he go back to the Beis HaMoiked and leave more the Derech HaYashar? Or was there this underground way of him getting out? And he ended up going out through Shar Tadi, Hadron Allah, B'Shloisha Mekayim. So just to end with one Ha'ara, and that is, so we mentioned that the Rosh says, quoting a Gemara really, Mesechtes Yumad Av Tezayin Amad Aleph, that Stam Mishnah in Mesechtes Midos is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So ordinarily, Stam Mishnah in Shas is Rameir, Aliba the Rabbi Akiva. Rameir was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. So it's Rameir, Aliba the Rabbi Akiva. Stating that, Mesechtes Midos is not Rameir, Aliba the Rabbi Akiva. But rather, Mesechtes Midos is Mishnah's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And we said the significance because we know that Allah is always like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov when he opines in a Mishnah. Mishnah's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is Kavanaki. Now, if Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is the Tana of Mesechtes Midos, it certainly feels like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov lived at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. It's not Muchach, but again, feels that way. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said he had an uncle that served in the Beis HaMikdash, so we can't be off by much, but that's certainly the heritage. And I took a look in the Seder HaDoyers, Erech Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he brings from the Rambam in his Hakdamah to Pirush HaMishnayos that says Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was a chaver of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived the majority of his life bizman bayasheni. He survived the Churban, but for the most part, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived bizman bayasheni. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was a chaver of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, which would place Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov bizman bayasheni. So it makes sense. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was an eyewitness to the second Beis HaMikdash, which we mentioned is the Beis HaMikdash that Masechtes Midos describes. So it's not just a Mishnah's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, it's an eyewitness account of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, a Tana, a great Tana, who saying what he saw with his own eyes in the second Beis HaMikdash. But then the Seyed HaDoyers asks Akasha. He says that if Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was a chaver of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he was an eyewitness to the second Beis HaMikdash, hence He's the Stam Mishnah of the Masechtas Midos. He says, I have a problem from a Medrash Rabba in Parshas Chayesom. The Medrash is Parsha Samach Aleph Gimel. And the Medrash over there tells a story that everybody knows, that everybody's heard many, 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 many times, but this Medrash says it in a different nosach. Yud Beis Elef Talmidim Hoyle Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 Talmidim, or 12,000 peers of Talmidim. Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim. Me Akoi Va'adan Tefres. They span from Akoi to Antifres. It sounds like they were mamish everywhere. The Kulam, the Perek Echad Nesu, and they all died, the Perek Echad. What was the Perek Echad? Sfira. Lama, why? Because they had an ayin sora towards each other. They didn't forgive each other. Ubisayf, afterwards, Hemet Shiva, Rabbi Akiva came back, and Rabbi Akiva didn't just let everything get lost in his misery, but he rebounded, and what did Rabbi Akiva do? He started teaching Torah again, and this time he taught Torah to seven Talmidim. Who were the seven Talmidim? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, Rabbi Yochanan Asandler, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. It's Tamri, some have a different gersa. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon ben Yechoy, Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinoy, Rabbi Yochanan Asandler. Incidentally, in the first gersa it says Rabbi Shimon, in the second gersa it says Rabbi Shimon bar Yechoy. Now we know Stam Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon bar Yechoy. The Rambam says it in his Akdama to Pirush HaMishnayos. That's without question. So, is there a machloikis between the two gersois? The first gersa says Rav Shimon, the second gersa says Rav Shimon Ba'yichai. We know v'advar matikin differences perhaps between Rav Shimon and Rav Shimon Ba'yichai. Either way, amalahem. So, Rabbi Akiva goes to seven Talmidim and he tells them, Banai, my sons, mantayre kindalach, harishoinim loy mesu elosh oisei named tsara elu be'elu. I had 24,000 Talmidim and they all died. Why? Again, shahoisei named tsara elu be'elu. True, daitchem shloitasu kemaseh. Be careful and don't do what they did. Amdu, they didn't do what the previous Talmidim did. Rather, they got up, umolu kol Eretz Yisrael Taira. And they filled up the entire Eretz Yisrael with Taira. This medrash here, Parshas Chayesara, Parshas Samach Aleph, is of course a mirror image of the Gemara Masechtas Yevamim, Daf Tzadik, Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. But there are many differences, and I think it's kedai to hear the Gemara in Masechtas Yevamim again. It's a short Gemara, just to appreciate the nuances. What's the Gemara Masechtas Yevamim? Says the Gemara, Ramei. Omru, Shneim Asar Elef Zugan Talmidim Hoyloi Rabbi Kiv. Rabbi Kiv had 12,000 peers of Talmidim, 12,000 Chavrusa Shafts. V'kul Migvas V'adan Tifres. V'kula Mesu B'Perek Echad. V'neisha Le'inagu Kovit Zelazeh. V'hoyo Ilam Shomin. And the world was Shomin. Atchmer Rabbi Kiv Yisrael Rabbi Seinu Shabadarim. V'shonu Lehem. Who are they? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, V'Rabbi Yosi, V'Rabbi Shimon, V'Rabbi Elazar Ben Shamua. V'heim heim hemidu Torah. The heim heim had midu Torah. And they were made sure that Torah would be rebuilt. This, again, many differences, but two primary differences. Number one, in terms of why was it that the Talmid Rabbi Akiva died? The Gemara in Yevamah Samach Beis Amad Beis, the Gemara that we heard as young children, was Mipnei Shaloi Nagu Kovid Zebezeh. The Gemara, the Medrash in Parashat Chayisara says it a little bit differently. Lama Mesu, why did they die? Shahoy Sei Neyem Tzore Eilu Be'elu. And then Rabbi Akiva, when he gives them their Musa Shmuz, he chazes it over. He says, Arishoynim Loi Mesu Elo Shahoy Sei Neyem Tzore Eilu Be'elu. It's because Shahoy Sei Neyem Tzore, it's not the same thing. Loi Nagu Kovid Zebezeh means they didn't treat each other with the proper Kovid. They spoke maybe disrespectfully. The Medrash is going a little deeper into the psychoanalysis, into the core of what was going on here. What was going on was, Shahoisei Neyem Tzara Elu Be'elu. What does it mean? They didn't forgive each other, right? That's the English translation. There was an issue in forgiving. There was a forgiving problem. Lefi Shahoisei Neyem Tzara Elu Be'elu. That's the first difference. The second difference is the Gemara Yevamah says, Rabbi Kiva was maimed five Talmidim afterwards. In the Medrash, it says he was maimed seven Talmidim. Who are the other two? So according to the first Girsa, it's Rabbi Yochanan Asandler, and it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. A third difference is in the Medrash, Rabbi Akiva gives his Talmidim a Musa Shmuz. We don't have the Musa Shmuz in the Gemara. Over there, Rabbi Akiva gives them a Musa Shmuz. He tells them what we would have expected him to have told him. I don't think it's a Chiddush, the Musa Shmuz, but it's interesting that it's a Mefurish Medrash. Amalem Bana, he said, my sons, Harishoinim Loi Mesu, Elo Shahoisei Neim Tzore Elu Le'elu. He says, you know, I had 24,000 Talmidim, they all died. You know why? Shaloi nagu kovet zebezeh. Or, shaloi say name, sorry, elu be'elu. Tru daitchem shaloi tasu kemaseh. Make sure that you don't repeat what it is that they did. Amdu says to them, they didn't repeat it. Umalu kol eretz Yisrael Torah, and they went ahead and they went fast and they spread Torah throughout the world. Either way, a few interesting differences. There's a lot to talk about. The income of Koymi Laharech, we're going to stop short. But Ashenegeil in Yonenu, the one Hara is, if Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was one of Rabbi Akiva's seven Talmidim, after he had already lost his 24,000 Talmidim, then how could Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov have been alive? Bizman Bayesheni, how could he be a chaver of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai? This story of Rabbi Akiva being maimed all these Talmidim, this happened 50, 60, 70 years after the Churban. I mean, unless you'll say Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was Herich Yomim Kol Kach, and as I shaken say that there is, he says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov had tremendous Herichos Yomim. How do I know? Because Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is a Chavar B'Yechem and Zakkai. He's the Stam Mishnah, Mesachtes Midas. And then I have a Medrash. The Medrash that has the more extended version of the story of Rabbi Akiva and his 24,000 Talmidim. He wasn't Maimed 5 Talmidim, he was Maimed 7. And who's the 6th and the 7th? Rabbi Yochanan Asandler? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So if he's alive so many years later, to now be a Talmud, to be a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, Zois Oimeres, that he had to have a tremendous Arichus Yom.